Welcome to Satsang number 6. Today I'd like to talk about illusions and how the mind interferes with awakening. Many of you have come to Satsang after intense study of some of the new spiritualities based on Indian and Buddhist traditions. Some of you may have actually studied with a master from an original tradition. Indian or Buddhist or Hindu. But you have to realize that almost all of these traditions are as much filled with nonsense as born-again Christianity. Basically, all of these traditions are just 2,000 and 3,000-year-old Indian and Chinese folklore, just as Christianity is based on 2,000 and 3,000-year-old Judaic folklore. If you believe in the divine birth of Jesus, you really don't belong at this satsang. If you believe in reincarnation, karmic balance, and the spiritual evolution of the soul, you'll really have a hard time in this satsang because we have no beliefs. Or at least you will have no beliefs if you want to go free. Part of going free means free being free of all words and concepts. Even some of the mind states and concepts written about in Rajiv in my own book, Autobiography of a Yani, are not real in the sense of not being absolute truth or universal experience. The concepts of a causal body, the subtle body, and Turiya were all mentioned in that book. And those concepts and associated experience helped bring Rajiv to freedom. His background was Kriya Yoga. He was familiar with similar concepts and easily experienced the various states to which I gave names and explanations. Doing this in full faith, he obtained freedom. I have to tell you, I played no part in this. Consciousness was speaking through me to him. There was no planning or forethinking on my part. What I said to him was purely spontaneous, the speaking of consciousness through me to the deepest levels of consciousness within Rajiv. It is through this teaching and experiences that brought him to freedom and now conditions how he teaches. I had both similar and different experiences, which conditions how I teach and how consciousness uses this apparent Ed Musica. Most of the times, the problems and dilemmas I see in students are easy to remedy, but sometimes consciousness takes over completely. Almost all of these satsangs are not me, but consciousness speaking through me. The muse moves me, as Alan says. It doesn't feel like me at all. Comes out through these loose lips. This is consciousness speaking in a way to help you wake up. Therefore, don't blame me for anything I say. Consciousness made me do it. That's a joke. But I want to make clear, absolutely nothing is true and absolutely nothing is real. All experiences, all concepts, all states are not real. Even though at times consciousness makes me speak about states and experiences because it feels that's what's needed at the moment. Take a look all around you right now. Look at your room. Look at your hand. Look down at your belly and your toes. Look at the computer monitor and all the letters and images on it. None of this is real. That is, what you think you see is not real. It is a play, a show, a drama created by your mind superimposed on the underlying but chaotic phenomenology. You don't see the reality underneath the appearances that the mind creates to allow the false you to function in the world. The real world, and we'll put that in quotes, is nothing like what you see now. And itself is not real either in the sense of being autonomous and self-existing or self-existing. It depends on you for existence. That's the ultimate you, the witness. Even when you gain freedom, you do not see the real world, the formless phenomena. But you do thoroughly understand that the world you live in is a projection of your mind. It is all consciousness as is the mind itself. The underlying flux of phenomena always has an interpretive layer of mind between you and it. This interpretive layer creates a very dull and boring world in life. With meditation, the layer can be nearly eliminated and the world becomes very vivid, colorful, immediate, and with no boundaries. But this is not awakening. This is only seeing the world as a child sees it before the eye is born. Going free is quite different. When you go free for the first time, what happens is you no longer identify with the body. You see clearly, I should say you understand clearly, that you have nothing to do with your body. It is only an appearance created by mind, superimposed on the reality you perceive with your eyes, hear with your ears, smell with your nose, taste with your mouth, and touch with your hands. Your body is still there, as well as all the other objects you have ever seen in the world. But you no longer identify with the body. You identify with the space that permeates the body and all other objects. Everything becomes like a hologram. Everything becomes an appearance permeated by stillness and emptiness, by the void which captures and interpenetrates all the worlds of appearance. And then you laugh, the loudest laugh ever. You see that the drama you've committed to for the past 20, 30, or 50 years is completely wrong. Your body is just another object in a room, a hollow prop. Your identification is now with the totality of everything that is seen, heard, smelled, tasted, or touched, but most especially with the void which contains it all, and which does not move. The void is part of the appearance that does not move. The void is everywhere as a constant. Sometimes there are two or three voids, one representing the emptiness of the ego and concepts of the mind, and the other the emptiness of all phenomena as an appearance. The body becomes a joke to you. Given that the body is seen as a joke, not being real, only a hollow appearance, the ego no longer fixes you, the ultimate you, as attached to the body. The whole drama is over for you. You float free. You feel unending happiness. Now, if the body and the world are not true, and they are only appearance, where does that leave science? That's easy. Science is not true either. It is only a commentary on appearances within emptiness, and itself is empty, no matter how functional it is, within the appearance that is the world. It is a science of the hollow, or of the hologram. The reality, more real than the appearance, is the void or the emptiness from which the shadow images come and the mind interprets. Our apparent world is like a dream. Imagine you are dreaming that you are a great scientist and you have made marvelous discoveries about the nature of the world of the dream. You have created the equivalent of Einstein's field equations about gravity in your dream. Merge that with quantum mechanics, cosmology, and string theory. This allows you to predict all sorts of things in your dream, including how to make a nuclear reactor and an H-bomb, as well as a passenger airliner that can fly 500 people at 600 or 700 miles per hour for 10 or 12,000 miles. All of this you do in one night in a dream. Maybe even win the Nobel Prize for being the most brilliant scientist ever. But the next morning you wake up and all that wonderful scientific theory that you created vanishes. You may remember one equation, but that whole world melts away and you laugh because all your great discoveries were bogus, mere mental creations within the larger mental creation of the dream. Unfortunately, some people may even hold on to that one equation and search all over to find it or something like it in some cosmological theory in our world. Sometimes manic depression is also this way, or appears this way. One week you feel brilliant and creative and perform wonderful works in your own mind. Then a month later, all of that goes and you feel nothing, or else you feel depressed. Sometimes that manic activity really was brilliant, but a month later it feels empty with no substance to you. This is how the mind works. Whenever and wherever there is consciousness, the mind creates form and meaning. That is its function. Form and meaning of the mind create functioning. And the same thing is true of Eastern mysticism. On all of that you've studied before you came to Advaita. All that has to go down the tubes. You can't believe any of that understanding because it's about the waking dream, just as science is about the waking dream. Eastern spirituality and science both disappear once you go free, and you are happy and complete, knowing nothing except that the world is unreal and you are unreal. In fact, you are nothing at all. No thing. You're not a thing, not an entity. Since the body is not real, none of the so-called chakras or energy centers in the body are real either. They're part of the dream. And belief in them and concentration on them just nails you ever more closely to the body. Rather than freeing you from the body, they nail you ever deeper into the body because you believe these centers really exist within the body. If you believe that these spiritual centers exist, you cannot accept your ultimate freedom, which is that the body does not exist at all and you are not the body, that you are entirely beyond all of that. Believing and even part of the illusion prevents you from seeing through the entirety of the illusion. You have to drop all of these spiritual concepts as totally bull. All of them. All of them. Christianity, Hindu, chakras, spiritual evolution, all of it. Rebirth, spiritual causality, chakras, heaven and earth all have to go. Because as long as you believe in them, you cannot be free from your earthly coil. Same holds true for all the myriad of samadhis and special states one attains through meditation and self-inquiry. You may experience experiences that are similar to Rajiv's within the causal and subtle bodies in Turiya, which means you're close to going free. But you have to go beyond these experiences. Totally into the unknown and unknowing. Totally let go of concepts. More importantly, you have to recognize that ground state around which all the other states revolve. There is a core state, one might say, but it's really inaccurate to say it's a state, which is really nothing at all. Which we give names like the witness, the ultimate, pure awareness, which is really you. This is what you remain after the body drops away. It is this that you must learn to identify with over and over again. It is the center of gravity of the universe. Existence and non-existence, all the states and all the experiences and all the people and all the bodies are only appearances that the fundamental you experience and know. Your true existence has nothing to do with any of this. Your true existence is sentience, knowledge of the existence of you as the center of the universe, the absolute. You have to realize that every time you ask a question about how to practice self-inquiry, you are asking it within the illusion that you are a body-mind, and you want to know an answer that fits that illusion. For example, you ask, how do I sink within the body? How do I sink into the background? How do I sink into the heart or abdomen? How many hearts are there? How do I manage Kundalini? How do I quiet the mind? All of these questions about how to practice are asked from within the illusion that you are a body-mind. I try to tell you the fundamental truth, which is that you don't even exist. But deep within your heart, you know that you do exist. You take your existence as real, rather than identifying with the witness. The witness, which is more real. Because you don't know the witness of existence as you. You identify with appearance, not with the witness. And it's this witness you have to get to know, rather than the body awareness. This is my dilemma. How do I answer your questions, which I see from outside of your illusion, but which you accept as reality? How do I reach you within the world appearance that you have created and accept as real? Help you escape by helping you see through the illusion. Part of the process of liberation is to keep repeating to you that you are not the body, that you do not exist, and that the world is unreal. This teaching is like a medicine for your disease of identification with the appearance of the body. You must understand and accept at some deep level that both you and the world are illusion. This will lead you to questioning all of your concepts and beliefs so that you can become completely stupid, like a brick. Then self-inquiry will reveal ever more subtle and empty levels of consciousness and allow the space for you to see that all phenomena, including the most fundamental, which is the coming and going of beingness, all happen to you, but none of it is real. The world is like a dream. It is created by the imaginative creative functioning of mind, which twists the underlying phenomenal chaos into a mechanistic world of cause and effect, time and space. That is my dilemma, how to show you the way out of the illusion from within the illusion. How do I convince you that the world is not real, that you are not real? How do I convince you to stop thinking as if the world were real, and science is real, and Eastern mysticism is real, and Santa Claus is real? Maybe by now you know that Santa isn't real. I'll bet at one time that even that might have been a stretch for you to understand when you were a child. What about the world? How to understand that the world is not real? One can only see this when you see that you as a person, a human, a phenomenal entity, are not real. You do not exist. Then everything else becomes hollow and empty, because everything was created by mind, which is insubstantial with no substance. You are seeing the emptiness of your concepts, which is the emptiness of the entire world, including the existence of your body and mind itself. The only reality lies in that principle which witnesses all of this, whether you call it the witness, the absolute, or awareness. And it has no quality that one finds in the world. It does not exist in this world. It is entirely beyond the world and has no property of the world. It is entirely beyond existence and non-existence. This can only be understood when the body drops out of the appearance of your head, deep into your body, and your appearance of consciousness will spread through and penetrate into everything at that time. You've got to get out of here. You've got to get the energy out of the apparent brain into the apparent body. It's so easy and yet so hard. Merely drop your attention deep, deep, deep down into the appearance of your body. Consciousness will begin to spread everywhere, and the void will be revealed as a self-illumined emptiness which interpenetrates everything. The easiest way to do this is to look at the I thought and also the sense of I. They are different. Watch where the I thought arises, and separately, with your tactile emotional being, feel the sense of presence which is associated with the I thought, which Nisargadatta called the I am. They are not the same, but they are closely associated in the mind. One is a thought, the other is the sense of presence is more of a tactile emotional feeling. There is a harder way, but a more direct way, and a more frightening way. And this is just to dive inwards and downwards into your inner darkness, which after time becomes an inner emptiness. Just hour after hour, day after day, look within. Look into the emptiness. Look into the darkness, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, until the void nature of phenomena is revealed, as well as your non-existence as a being. This is true self-inquiry, not mindlessly repeating the question, who am I? None of this understanding comes easily to most. You need to persist and recognize that it is your thoughts and thinking which prevent you from going free. You can deliberately try to silence the mind, but that is putting the cart before the horse. Instead, be aware of the I thought and where the I thought arises out of the inner emptiness. Be aware of the sense of presence, and also that you are witnessing the sense of presence. You are witnessing the I am. Most people cannot tolerate such an austere practice. They want to utilize their busy mind, make theories, make connections, and gain a complete understanding of the whole process before they commit to even 5 minutes of meditation. The mind has totally subjugated them, and it has become the host of your beingness instead of the guest of the Absolute, which is you. You must have courage, determination. Welcome to Satsang number 6. Today I'd like to talk about illusions and how the mind interferes with awakening. Many of you have come to Satsang after intense study of some of the new spiritualities based on Indian and Buddhist traditions. Some of you may have actually studied with a master from an original tradition, Indian or Buddhist or Hindu. But you have to realize that almost all of these traditions are as much filled with nonsense as born-again Christianity. Basically, all of these traditions are just 2,000 and 3,000-year-old Indian and Chinese folklore, just as Christianity is based on 2,000 and 3,000-year-old Judaic folklore. If you believe in the divine birth of Jesus, you really don't belong at the satsang. If you believe in reincarnation, karmic balance, and the spiritual evolution of the soul, you'll really have a hard time in this satsang because we have no beliefs. Or at least you will have no beliefs if you want to go free. Part of going free means free being free of all words and concepts. Even some of the mind states and concepts written about in Rajiv in my own book, Autobiography of a Yani, are not real in the sense of not being absolute truth or universal experience. The concepts of a causal body, the subtle body, and Turiya were all mentioned in that book. And those concepts and associated experience help bring Rajiv to freedom. His background was Kriya Yoga. He was familiar with similar concepts and easily experienced the various states to which I gave names and explanations. Doing this in full faith, he obtained freedom. I have to tell you, I played no part in this. Consciousness was speaking through me to him. There was no planning or forethinking on my part. What I said to him was purely spontaneous, the speaking of consciousness through me to the deepest levels of consciousness within Rajiv. It is through this teaching and experiences that brought him to freedom and now conditions how he teaches. I had both similar and different experiences, which conditions how I teach and how consciousness uses this apparent Ed Musica. Most of the times, the problems and dilemmas I see in students are easy to remedy, but sometimes consciousness takes over completely. Almost all of these satsangs are not me, but consciousness speaking through me. The muse moves me, as Alan says. It doesn't feel like me at all. Comes out through these loose lips. This is consciousness speaking in a way to help you wake up. Therefore, don't blame me for anything I say. Consciousness made me do it. That's a joke. But I want to make clear, absolutely nothing is true and absolutely nothing is real. All experiences, all concepts, all states are not real. Even though at times consciousness makes me speak about states and experiences because it feels that's what's needed at the moment. Take a look all around you right now. Look at your room. Look at your hand. Look down at your belly and your toes. Look at the computer monitor and all the letters and images on it. None of this is real. That is, what you think you see is not real. It is a play, a show, a drama created by your mind superimposed on the underlying but chaotic phenomenology. You don't see the reality underneath the appearances that the mind creates to allow the false you to function in the world. The real world, and we'll put that in quotes, is nothing like what you see now. And itself is not real either in the sense of being autonomous and self-existing or self-existing. It depends on you for existence. That's the ultimate you, the witness. Even when you gain freedom, you do not see the real world, the formless phenomena. But you do thoroughly understand that the world you live in is a projection of your mind. It is all consciousness as is the mind itself. The underlying flux of phenomena always has an interpretive layer of mind between you and it. This interpretive layer creates a very dull and boring world in life. With meditation, the layer can be nearly eliminated and the world becomes very vivid, colorful, immediate, and with no boundaries. But this is not awakening. This is only seeing the world as a child sees it before the eye is born. Going free is quite different. When you go free for the first time, what happens is you no longer identify with the body. You see clearly, I should say you understand clearly, that you have nothing to do with your body. It is only an appearance created by mind superimposed on the reality you perceive with your eyes, hear with the ears, smell with your nose, taste with your mouth, and touch with your hands. Your body is still there, as well as all the other objects you have ever seen in the world. But you no longer identify with the body. You identify with the space that permeates the body and all other objects. Everything becomes like a hologram. Everything becomes an appearance permeated by stillness and emptiness, by the void which captures and interpenetrates all the worlds of appearance. And then you laugh, the loudest laugh ever. You see that the drama you've committed to for the past 20, 30, or 50 years is completely wrong. Your body is just another object in a room, a hollow prop. Your identification is now with the totality of everything that is seen, heard, smelled, tasted, or touched, but most especially with the void which contains it all. And which does not move. The void is part of the appearance that does not move. The void is everywhere as a constant. Sometimes there are two or three voids, one representing the emptiness of the ego and concepts of the mind, and the other the emptiness of all phenomena as an appearance. The body becomes a joke to you. Given that the body is seen as a joke, not being real, only a hollow appearance, the ego no longer fixes you, the ultimate you, as attached to the body. The whole drama is over for you. You float free. You feel unending happiness. Now, if the body and the world are not true, and they are only appearance, where does that leave science? That's easy. Science is not true either. It is only a commentary on appearances within emptiness, and itself is empty, no matter how functional it is, within the appearance that is the world. It is a science of the hollow, or of the hologram. The reality, more real than the appearance, is the void or the emptiness from which the shadow images come and the mind interprets. Our apparent world is like a dream. Imagine you are dreaming that you are a great scientist and you have made marvelous discoveries about the nature of the world of the dream. You have created the equivalent of Einstein's field equations about gravity in your dream. Merge that with quantum mechanics, cosmology, and string theory. This allows you to predict all sorts of things in your dream, including how to make a nuclear reactor and an H-bomb, as well as a passenger airliner that can fly 500 people at 600 or 700 miles per hour for 10 or 12,000 miles. All of this you do in one night in a dream. Maybe even win the Nobel Prize for being the most brilliant scientist ever. But the next morning you wake up and all that wonderful scientific theory that you created vanishes. You may remember one equation, but that whole world melts away and you laugh because all your great discoveries were bogus, mere mental creations within the larger mental creation of the dream. Unfortunately, some people may even hold on to that one equation and search all over to find it or something like it in some cosmological theory in our world. Sometimes manic depression is also this way, or appears this way. One week you feel brilliant and creative and perform wonderful works in your own mind. Then a month later, all of that goes and you feel nothing, or else you feel depressed. Sometimes that manic activity really was brilliant, but a month later it feels empty with no substance to you. This is how the mind works. Whenever and wherever there is consciousness, the mind creates form and meaning. That is its function. Form and meaning of the mind create functioning. And the same thing is true of Eastern mysticism. And all of that you've studied before you came to Advaita. All that has to go down the tubes. You can't believe any of that understanding because it's about the waking dream, just as science is about the waking dream. Eastern spirituality and science both disappear once you go free, and you are happy and complete, knowing nothing except that the world is unreal and you are unreal. In fact, you are nothing at all. No thing. You're not a thing, not an entity. Since the body is not real, none of the so-called chakras or energy centers in the body are real either. They're part of the dream. And belief in them and concentration on them just nails you ever more closely to the body. Rather than freeing you from the body, they nail you ever deeper into the body because you believe these centers really exist within the body. If you believe that these spiritual centers exist, you cannot accept your ultimate freedom, which is that the body does not exist at all and you are not the body, that you are entirely beyond all of that. Believing and even part of the illusion prevents you from seeing through the entirety of the illusion. You have to drop all of these spiritual concepts as totally bull. All of them. All of them. Christianity, Hindu, chakras, spiritual evolution, all of it. Rebirth, spiritual causality, chakras, heaven and earth all have to go. Because as long as you believe in them, you cannot be free from your earthly coil. Same holds true for all the myriad of samadhis and special states one attains through meditation and self-inquiry. You may experience experiences that are similar to Rajiv's within the causal and subtle bodies in Turiya, which means you're close to going free. But you have to go beyond these experiences. Totally into the unknown and unknowing. Totally let go of concepts. More importantly, you have to recognize that ground state around which all the other states revolve. There is a core state, one might say, but it's really inaccurate to say it's a state, which is really nothing at all. Which we give names like the witness, the ultimate, pure awareness. really you. This is what you remain after the body drops away. It is this that you must learn to identify with over and over again. It is the center of gravity of the universe. Existence and non-existence, all the states and all the experiences and all the people and all the bodies are only appearances that the fundamental you experience and know. Your true existence has nothing to do with any of this. Your true existence is sentience, knowledge of the existence of you as the center of the universe, the absolute. You have to realize that every time you ask a question about how to practice self-inquiry, you are asking it within the illusion that you are a body-mind, and you want to know an answer that fits that illusion. For example, you ask, how do I sink within the body? How do I sink into the background? How do I sink into the heart or abdomen? How many hearts are there? How do I manage Kundalini? How do I quiet the mind? All of these questions about how to practice are asked from within the illusion that you are a body-mind. I try to tell you the fundamental truth, which is that you don't even exist. But deep within your heart, you know that you do exist. You take your existence as real, rather than identifying with the witness. The witness, which is more real. Because you don't know the witness of existence as you. You identify with appearance, not with the witness. And it's this witness you have to get to know, rather than the body awareness. This is my dilemma. How do I answer your questions, which I see from outside of your illusion, but which you accept as reality? How do I reach you within the world appearance that you have created and accept as real, and help you escape by helping you see through the illusion? Part of the process of liberation is to keep repeating to you that you are not the body, that you do not exist, and that the world is unreal. This teaching is like a medicine for your disease of identification with the appearance of the body. You must understand and accept at some deep level that both you and the world are illusion. This will lead you to questioning all of your concepts and beliefs so that you can become completely stupid, like a brick. Then self-inquiry will reveal ever more subtle and empty levels of consciousness and allow the space for you to see that all phenomena, including the most fundamental, which is the coming and going of beingness, all happen to you, but none of it is real. The world is like a dream. It is created by the imaginative creative functioning of mind, which twists the underlying phenomenal chaos into a mechanistic world of cause and effect, time and space. That is my dilemma, how to show you the way out of the illusion from within the illusion. How do I convince you that the world is not real, that you are not real? How do I convince you to stop thinking as if the world were real, and science is real, and Eastern mysticism is real, and Santa Claus is real? Maybe by now you know that Santa isn't real. I'll bet at one time that even that might have been a stretch for you to understand when you were a child. What about the world? How to understand that the world is not real? One can only see this when you see that you, as a person, a human, a phenomenal entity, are not real. You do not exist. Then everything else becomes hollow and empty, because everything was created by mind, which is insubstantial with no substance. You are seeing the emptiness of your concepts, which is the emptiness of the entire world, including the existence of your body and mind itself. The only reality lies in that principle which witnesses all of this, whether you call it the witness, the absolute, or awareness. And it has no quality that one finds in the world. It does not exist in this world. It is entirely beyond the world and has no property of the world. It is entirely beyond existence and non-existence. This can only be understood when the body drops out of the appearance of your head, deep into your body, and your appearance of consciousness will spread through and penetrate into everything at that time. You got to get out of here. You got to get the energy out of the apparent brain into the apparent body. It's so easy and yet so hard. Merely drop your attention deep, deep, deep down into the appearance of your body. Consciousness will begin to spread everywhere, and the void will be revealed as a self-illumined emptiness which interpenetrates everything. The easiest way to do this is to look at the I thought and also the sense of I. They are different. Watch where the I thought arises, and separately, with your tactile emotional being, feel the sense of presence which is associated with the I thought, which Nisargadatta called the I am. They are not the same, but they are closely associated in the mind. One is a thought, the other is the sense of presence is more of a tactile emotional feeling. There is a harder way, but a more direct way, and a more frightening way. And this is just to dive inwards and downwards into your inner darkness, which after time becomes an inner emptiness. Just hour after hour, day after day, look within. Look into the emptiness. Look into the darkness, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, until the void nature of phenomena is revealed, as well as your non-existence as a being. This is true self-inquiry, not mindlessly repeating the question, who am I? None of this understanding comes easily to most. You need to persist and recognize that it is your thoughts and thinking which prevent you from going free. You can deliberately try to silence the mind, but that is putting the cart before the horse. Instead, be aware of the I thought and where the I thought arises out of the inner emptiness. Be aware of the sense of presence, and also that you are witnessing the sense of presence. You are witnessing the I am. Most people cannot tolerate such an austere practice. They want to utilize their busy mind, make theories, make connections, and gain a complete understanding of the whole process before they commit to even 5 minutes of meditation. The mind has totally subjugated them, and it has become the host of your beingness instead of the guest of the Absolute, which is you. You must have courage, determination, perseverance, and trust in the teachings and the method. Most of you have trust in me or the method. You need to develop that trust in yourself and accept that it is within your power to discover who and what you are. It is this kind of confidence which is really important to successfully going free. You can have faith in me, and you can have faith in the method, but you must also have faith in yourself. And you get that by throwing away all concepts, all science, all Eastern mysticism, all rebirth fantasies, all spiritual evolution fantasies, and just look closely within at the nature of your inner world, towards that which witnesses the inner world, towards the subject. Don't be in a rush. Don't look for immediate results. Don't keep second-guessing yourself, asking whether you're doing it right. Just turn your attention completely around from looking outward into the world to inward towards your inner darkness and emptiness. That's all you have to do. Just as a scientist observes phenomena of the world, you must observe phenomena in you and find that which is really you and what is not real. What you think you are is not true. You don't exist in the way you think that you exist. Once you own the state, which Nisargadatta calls the absolute or the witness, then you will realize that all the steps you took to escape the illusion and which were done within the illusion were never really taken. You never moved even 1 inch. You never practiced even 1 minute. You never practiced self-inquiry. All of this happened within the unreality of the waking dream and is fundamentally unreal. There is no you to have ever practiced or become realized. Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? Many and more of you are interacting with me frequently. And I joke with you and you joke with me. You want to identify with my humanhood. You wonder about what I like to eat, what movies I like to see, and what I think about the world. But you see, you're trying to identify with me as a human rather than that with that reality which is beyond existence, which I can't show you directly. I can only talk about it and the method to get there. And that attempt to identify with me as a human is great because that's what creates relationships between teachers and students and between humans and creates society. But there's something beyond all of this. So I may tell you jokes to keep you entertained and in a sense to make the world more real to me also so I can function in it. But fundamentally, I have nothing to do with this world. That which continues to function in this world is a vestige of the past. It's like a spinning top that keeps spinning, even though no longer is anyone there making it go faster and faster. I identify with none of this. I have seen through the illusion. I don't care what happens to my body. I don't read books, not even spiritual books anymore. I don't listen to music except sacred music once in a while. I don't care what kind of home I own or the car I drive. If I had 3 or 4 boiled vegetables a day, I'd be happy. Robert always said, don't pay much attention to the body. Just take care of it, but don't be too concerned about it. If I had my druthers, I'd never move from my couch. I'd be lying on my back all day experiencing total happiness of being and doing nothing. Cauciani, I guess. An evolved form of a couch potato. But something in me keeps me in the world. Perhaps it's as a spinning top. Perhaps it's my habit of feeling all too deeply the suffering of all sentient beings and wanting them to be safe and free. Many of you feel the same way. And that's why we are a spiritual family and growing. So you need to bear with me. I'll try to wake you from the illusion, even while I continue to act as a human, because doing so has built a bond between you and me, so that eventually you can see in me the deeper levels of self that exist within you, and vice versa. In the meantime, as we grow as a family, each of us is finding new ways to exercise compassion and a deeper understanding. Jean Riley right now is on her way. She may have made it to Columbus by this time. She'll be moving in with my mom in Phoenix, and we'll be in close association with Ryan Altman, also in Phoenix, who is taking over the editing function of my LA animalwatch.com. That's one of Southern California's leading animal voice blogs. I am confident that he will become a new, powerful voice for animal freedom and no-kill animal sheltering. It's almost miraculous in the way we're coming together as a family and compassionate, as Sansanim said, together action. Now let us dive deep within ourself, the one and only self. Let us dive deep within the darkness and emptiness that is within the appearance of your body and seek the origin of your existence. Dive deep within, going downwards and outwards into the ground, to the great darkness and emptiness that is the background of consciousness. As you do this, gradually consciousness becomes bright and self-illumined. This illumination is a substrata upon which the mind builds the world. By seeing this illumination, you're seeing the deepest level of appearances of consciousness. But you are even beyond that. I'll try to go deep. Look into yourself. Feel the entirety of your body. Close your eyes. Feel how the body is hollow and empty. See how you're trapped in your head right now. Go deeper into your body. Peer deeper into your body. Look deeper into your body. Feel your abdomen. Feel how your clothes brush against your belly as you breathe deeper. Start focusing your attention lower and lower. Feel the sense of presence that is the I am all around you. Feel it in your belly also. We're trying to get you out of your head, out of having all the energy diverted to the brain, the apparent brain. And that's the only way you can step beyond the apparent brain, to emptiness itself, to the totality itself. Now go deep.